You'll turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Amen. We'll continue with need to pray. This is part 5. Brother Church. Amen. Matthew 6, verse 9. We'll read 9 through 13. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is known as the Lord's Prayer, but as we said before, it should be called our prayer, or it should be called the disciples' prayer, because it was given to them as an instruction of how they ought to pray. You see, the disciples had asked Jesus to teach them to pray because they saw him and they saw the fruits of his prayers. So folks, imagine what the disciples had experienced up to this point. They had seen with Jesus, they had been with Jesus for a little while now, and they had seen many great miracles already, but they did not yet have the full revelation of who Jesus was. And it wasn't until about 10 chapters later that Jesus asked them straight up. In Matthew 16, verse 13 and 14, says, when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. You see, early on, many of these disciples thought that Jesus was Elijah and come back from the dead, or they thought he was just some great prophet. They didn't know that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh at that point. They didn't understand the oneness of God. They did not know that they were asking God to teach them to pray. But what they did see through Jesus Christ, they saw miracles. They saw signs and wonders. They saw profound teaching. They heard these parables that he taught. And they were probably looking at Jesus in an awe, thinking, how does he get all this power and we have none? They didn't understand that he was God in the flesh. They didn't even understand that he was the Son of God. But what they did understand was that Jesus had a special connection with God. And they liked that, and they wanted that so badly for themselves. You see, it might have been a selfish desire in the beginning, but wanting to perform miracles, wanting to cast out devils. Have you ever been somewhere, maybe a circus or a ball game or some kind of show, and you see someone do something totally amazing, and it's almost unbelievable. Someone did an amazing feat and left your head spinning, and you thought to yourself, how do they do that? I would love to do that. Or they're out of their mind. Right? You see, as adults, we sometimes look at people with that same feeling. We see people with 2 jobs, 4 kids. They're involved in everything that you can imagine. And they still have time to pray and still have time to fast and do great works for the Lord. And you wonder, how do they do it all? You see, the disciples were in that very feeling. How does he do it? How does Jesus do all that he is doing? You see, he nonstop traveling, the teaching of the crowds that follow him, the miracles, the feeding of the 5,000, the casting out of devils, the healings. How does he keep his peace when people accuse him? How does he have so much compassion? How does he keep his mind on the right things? How does he stay motivated? How does he live above sin? How does he stay about his Father's business? Now, I'm sure this is what the disciples were feeling. And of course, the The disciples knew that he prayed a lot. And they had seen him separate from the crowd. And they saw him, when he separated from the crowd, get alone in prayer. And they didn't really know what the secret of his prayers were. And so they asked him. In Luke 11, verse 1, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And Jesus responds by, he responds to them by giving them this model prayer. And last week we talked about, before we get into prayer tonight, we talked about Jesus told them to pray regularly, pray always. He told them to pray sincerely, not as the heathen prayed. He told them to pray secretly, not to be seen of men. And he told them to pray thoughtfully and don't use vain repetitions. And Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." Jesus didn't give us this prayer to read as our prayer, but as an outline or as a pattern by which we can learn to pray. You see, the Lord's Prayer is a model prayer that is to be prayed through. He said, the scripture started out, if it's after this manner, or in other words, in this way, or like this, pray like this. Jesus was giving us words. He was giving us thoughts. He was giving us phrases that are to be the points that make up the whole of our prayer. You just fill in the blanks, right? You see, it's like Jesus gave us a point form outline. He gave us the main heading, and then what we need to do is we need to personalize our prayer according to his outline. Now, I would like to go through this prayer step by step so that we can learn to pray the way Jesus wants us to pray. And we know this prayer starts out with "Our Father." You see, Jesus' example of prayer begins with two words, "Our Father." Father is a title, right? But when we add the word "our" to Father, we are identifying Father in relationship to us. Whose Father? Our Father. Father, folks, is a position. And when we add Jesus as Father, we are stating that Jesus is the head. He is the authority. Everything comes through him. Amen? And yet we are also stating that the fact that we trust him and that we are his children. You know, as children, we should have a childlike faith that God will provide for us. What does he provide? He provides food. He provides shelter. He provides clothing. He provides love. In fact, Jesus said, don't even think about those things. Are you serious, Pastor? Yes, look at Matthew 6, 31 through 32. "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father," our Father, right, "knoweth that ye have need of all these things." As our Father, God will protect us. And that means that we don't have to live in fear. But we should have faith that God has it all in control. In Romans 8, verse 15, it says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." As our Father, folks, God, he's available anytime. Anytime. I am available for my children anytime. If they have a need, and they can call me and count on me anywhere, any place, anytime. Jesus said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. As our Father, God will correct us. We don't always like it, but if we call him our Father, then he should have the right to correct us. And God, our good fathers, we know, discipline their children. Amen? A good father will discipline the children. And God is a good father. Hebrews 12, verse 6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." So if God thinks it's important enough to correct, chasten, we should do the same. You see, when we pray, we ought to ask God to show us the right way. Correct us from doing what we don't know is right. And the scripture says, "Which art in heaven." Although God is everywhere, his throne is in heaven. Psalms 103, verse 19 says, "The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all." David knew where to direct his prayers. Amen. He said in Psalms 121, verse 1, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." Which cometh my help. When we pray, we need to acknowledge that he is in heaven. He's above us. He's over us. And when we pray, folks, we approach his throne humbly and with godly fear in our hearts. Yet, at the same time, the Bible says, come in bold faith. Not arrogant faith, but bold faith. Because he has power over all things. Amen. We had to have a reverence, amen, for our Heavenly Father. We need to have that humbleness about him. But we understand that he loves us, and we can be bold and say, "God, your word says this. And if I will obey you, you will take care of these things. You told me not to worry about the food and the raiment and the clothing and all these things. You told me not to worry about it." God is not subject to earthly powers. And as his children, we can pray knowing that he has the final say in our lives. Amen. So when we ask God these things, when he gives us the answer, we may not like it, but we need to accept it. Amen. The scripture also says, "Hallowed be thy name." Hallow means to honor something as holy, to set apart as unique or special. And when we hallow his name, we're saying, "Lord, there's none like you. You're alone. You alone, God, are holy. And you're above, Lord, before and over all. And Lord, you're in a class all by yourself, and you're God, and you're God alone." You see, the Jewish people believed that the name of God was too sacred to even say. And they were afraid of taking the Lord's name in vain. And the name of the Lord in the original Hebrew was Yahweh, which is YHWH. I hope I'm saying that right. If you're a scholar here, you can tell me later. There was no vowels in the original Hebrew word or text. And you could pronounce God's name, although some say that it was pronounced Yahweh. And later, it was translated in as Jehovah. And from this came the titles, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord is my healer. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my provider. You see, these are just some of the many names that was given to us, a greater revelation of his nature. And when we pray, folks, we ought to give honor to him, amen, because he is our healer, amen. He is our provider. He is our strength, and so on and so on. Amen. So I'm glad. I'm so glad that I can speak his name. Amen. And give honor to his name today, aren't you? Amen. Aren't you glad that we know that name that prophets long to know? The scripture also says, "Thy kingdom come." You see, this is very important because it is the first and one of the most specific requests that we find in the Lord's Prayer. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom reign in my life. You see, folks, if you're struggling in your prayer life, you really need to understand this. If you don't know what to pray for exactly, then you need to hear this. This should be the focus of all your requests. When you are asking God to meet some of your physical needs in prayer, it should always come after this. The kingdom of God always comes first. Right? Now, many times when we come to the Lord in prayer, we come to Him with a specific need in mind, and we get right straight to that need. Right? Because that is what's on our mind. But we are desperate for an answer from God. And meanwhile, God may be using your situation for the ultimate purpose of His kingdom. So it is important, folks, that we understand that His ways are above our ways. And because of that, His kingdom is above our kingdom. His kingdom should come first in your life. Because if it's not, you need to rearrange some things. You know how it is sometimes when some people, every time you see them, they want something? And you would just love for one time for them to say, hey, hi, how you doing? Instead of putting their hand out or asking you if you can take care of this or take care of that. Right? Folks, God wants us to love Him and hallow His name and do all these things. But God wants us to understand, am I first in your life? Even before that need, am I the most important thing in your life? But we want to go right straight to the need. God, you see what's going on? God, I need you to move in this situation. We are desperate for an answer. God understands that. But God, He might want to use this to draw you closer to Him. And so it's important that we understand that His ways are above our ways and that He needs to come first in our lives. So when you are praying for His kingdom, you are not praying for physical things. His kingdom, folks, is not a physical kingdom. Jesus said in John 18, verse 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And when we pray for His kingdom to come, we are tapping into another realm. A realm that is above the realm of this world where God rules and reigns. And so when we pray, thy kingdom come, we are asking God to make His invisible kingdom visible here on earth. Shouldn't we? We should be want to be that reflection of Him. Amen? And so we're not going to be a reflection of Him if His kingdom isn't first in our lives. To emphasize the importance of the kingdom of God over earthly things, Jesus addressed this issue again in just a few verses later. This is what He said in Matthew 6, 25 through 32. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Here we are. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, when we pray first and foremost, folks, for his kingdom to come, everything else will be taken care of. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Isn't that awesome? Jesus was telling his disciples, hey, guys, prayer isn't all about you. Don't be selfish. You see, I already know what you have need of. But if you seek me first, he says, if you seek my kingdom, everything else will work out just fine. You see, by nature, we're selfish. Amen? You start out baby, when they want change, they're going to let you know. When they want to eat, they're going to let you know. We have this selfish nature. And some people never were taught to be considerate of others. And Jesus is saying, look, it's not about you. If you're going to serve me, I need to come first. I know what you have need of. But I'm telling you right now, if you will seek me first, seek my kingdom first in your life, I'll take care of the rest. So what does he mean when he says, take care, I want your kingdom? He wants you to love like he loved. He wants you to have a burden for souls like he did. He wants you to work for his kingdom and do the things that he did on this earth. And he said, if you'll do these, and you'll do greater things. But you can't do greater things and do these things that God did if you didn't seek him first. We have to seek him first. Seek his will. Seek his kingdom in our lives. So when we pray for his kingdom to come, what we are praying for specifically, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We have to be righteous. You see, Jesus has given us an insight into what we ought to pray for specifically. His righteousness, not ours. His. See, Paul describes exactly what the kingdom of God is in Romans 14, verse 17. Says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I ask you tonight, do you have these things in your life? Do you have his righteousness? Do you have peace in your life? If you have constant turmoil in your life, you're not where you need to be in God. Because I don't care, and listen, folks, it's not joy and peace. It's not being trouble-free. It's being able to go through these things and have a peace of God that says, I put him first. He's going to take care of it. His word tells me if I seek him first, it's going to be taken. But you know what happens in the world? You see, when all these things start going awry and they don't have this and that, they get all frantic. They get all wound up. They get mad, and they start letting people know, and they give people a piece of their mind, and some of them don't have any minds left because they gave it all away. But let me tell you something. When you serve God and you're doing what he tells you to do by putting him first and having, God, I want to put you first in my life because I want that peace. I want that righteousness. I want that joy. So when problems come, you know I got a peace because I believe in God. It's not our righteousness, but because Jesus called that righteous filthy rags. Okay? It's his righteousness. Not our peace, but his peace, the Bible says, that passes all understanding. And his joy, that's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy in the Holy Ghost. You see, that's how when you have his peace and his joy in your life and his righteousness, that's how you can get out and you can still worship God even when the problems are coming your way. Amen? That's how Paul and Silas could shout and worship the Lord when they're sitting there in a jail cell and it's, there's rats and stuff running around and they could begin to sing unto the Lord. And what did God do? He come in there and loose them. Not our righteousness, not our peace, not our joy, but his. Amen? None of this comes without the Holy Ghost. You have to have the Holy Ghost. We can't have his righteousness, folks. We can't have his peace. We can't have his joy without the Holy Ghost. And the kingdom of God is the Holy Ghost and the fruit of it. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. The kingdom of God is not something that we can see, for we can't see spiritual things. But we can see the fruit of the Spirit. You see, the people in Jesus' day wanted to know when the kingdom of God should come. And they thought that they would be able to see it. And I want you to hear what Jesus said to him in Luke 17, 20 through 21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you, folks. That's the Holy Ghost. That's why we say, thy kingdom come. Amen? That's why we have to show forth the fruit of the Spirit. That's how people can see the kingdom of God, is the fruit of the Spirit through us. Come on, what are your neighbors seeing? Are they seeing in you, amen, the joy and the peace and all these things? Are they seeing all that in you? What are they seeing? Your kingdom? Or are they seeing God's kingdom? Come on. Are they seeing the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy. Your co-workers, come on. Are they seeing the peace and the long-suffering? Your family members, are they seeing the gentleness and the goodness and the faith? Are they seeing meekness and temperance? What are they seeing in you? Is it God's kingdom or is it your kingdom? That's why we have to pray this Lord's Prayer. Not my will, but thine be done. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. That is the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye the Holy Ghost. When you pray, the very first thing that you should ask for is the Holy Ghost. You see, it is something that you should seek, something that you should desire. If you already haven't, ask the Lord to renew it in you. If you haven't yet received it, seek it and desire it every time you pray. And Jesus said, folks, that everything else will take care of itself. And when Jesus said, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, he wasn't talking about physical needs. Luke 11, 9 through 13 says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask of a fish, will he give him for a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he ask of an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You see, he's talking about the Holy Ghost. If you desire all the needs, all your needs to be met, seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's stand. He wants to give his Spirit to everybody, to whosoever will. Amen. And God wants to bless us, and he wants to fulfill, he wants to bring his kingdom into each of our lives. And folks, we need to understand, God must be first. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, for your word tonight, and I pray, God, that you'll help us here tonight to leave here changed. God, and I pray that you'll help us to understand that you must come first in our lives. And God, that if we seek you, Lord, all these things will be added. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.